Welcome to the Lifeway Church Podcast. We are so glad that you have joined us, and we hope that you are encouraged by today's message.
All right. Who's ready for part three of Man in the Mirror? All right, well, we've got a really special treat for all of us today. Normally, I am the one who speaks, but I wanted to come out here and introduce our speaker this morning. The scripture says to give honor where honor is due. And Tiffany Venegas is going to be coming out here in just a moment, and she typically leads our worship team and is up here in front. And let me just tell you, I appreciate and I admire Tiffany so much. She just comes up here, and man, you would never know it this year, but she's walked through one of the most difficult things that you can walk through in a family situation, and yet every single week she's faithful, and she comes up here and worships Jesus. And you know, there are a lot of people in the world that are talented, right? But she loves Jesus with all of her heart. And so I ask you to do this. Preach with her, help her, make it easy for her here this morning. But why don't you give a warm welcome to Tiffany Venegas as she comes to preach to us this morning.
Well, good morning, everybody. I was going to come out and do like Andrew's exact welcome and say good morning everyone and welcome to the Lifeway. And I had it somewhat scripted, but I chose not to do it. But let's give a warm welcome for everybody who is listening online or will be listening later today. I'm really honored and really grateful to be here to speak to you guys this morning. I wouldn't necessarily say I'm a preacher, so I just really want to share what I feel God has put on my heart today, and really just more talk with everyone today. So I hope that's all right with you. I don't know why I brought two sets of my notes up just in case one magically disappeared. Just wanted to make sure I'm prepared. So if things start flying, don't worry, I got a backup. Well as my phone, just in case. So I also made sure like three times, did I put deodorant on this morning? But I'm just kidding. I am really excited to be, no, I really did though. I am really, really excited to be here and to talk with you guys this morning. And so before I begin, I wanted to kind of open up with sort of my stream of consciousness when Pastor Andrew asked me if I would speak this morning. And so he lets you know already, but in my intro I had said, like, listen, I'm not the pastor, so if it is your first time to the Lifeway and you don't like me or you think I have issues when I go through my testimony, please come back next week because we have a really awesome pastor that is not me. So I'm really thankful that he trusts me to talk with you guys this morning. And this morning I said, I don't want you to read my notes, and I hope I don't mess up. But I wanted to begin by saying when he asked me to speak, my initial thoughts, I'm going to kind of share with you what some of my initial thoughts were because I feel like it's an important thing for us to know that we don't have to be perfect to be used by God or to say yes to what Jesus asks us to do. And so when he asked me if I would be willing to speak, my initial internal thought was, no, thank you. I got a lot to do. And quite frankly, I'm going to share with you very vulnerably. I was like, you know, I'm not really sure I'm in the best place right now, spiritually, mentally. I feel like sometimes I can feel a little messy. For those of you that don't know, my dad passed away 3 months ago after battling cancer for 3 years. And for anyone who's gone through that, what I'm learning is that process is a messy process. And I've never really been a very messy person. I'm pretty squared away, and I've thought of myself as fairly disciplined. But the last, I would say, well, really 2 years, I've found myself just the ebbs and flows that come with life. And then shortly after my dad passed, my uncle passed, and then 2 weeks ago, my aunt passed. And so it's just been quite a year. And with that comes sort of this feeling of like, God, I'm not really sure that I should still be, you know, in front of people or speaking to people or ministering right now. Maybe I just need to get some things together myself. And so those were my initial thoughts, but I didn't tell him that. I said, oh, I'll pray about it because I didn't want to seem lazy. So I did pray about it. And so I committed it to prayer, and I went through all of these thoughts in my mind. And after I kind of thought through that, there was another thought that came to my mind, and this was the thought. The thought was, listen, you know that those thoughts are not from God because God is not condemning. The Bible says that there is therefore now no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus. And quite frankly, I really believe God brought to my mind that every single one of the disciples were pretty messed up in their own way, shape, or form. And all of the people that God used had their flaws and their failures and places where they had really truly messed up. And so I was thinking about this and praying about it. And I'll share with you, because I really feel like God put on my heart to just be extra vulnerable today, which is not strength, but I'm really trying to be obedient in that. And so I was thinking about it, and I was thinking how I have my whole life, my spiritual struggle has not been like, when I was in college, I went out and partied. It wasn't drinking, it wasn't drugs, it wasn't those things. But what my spiritual struggle has always been has been a struggle of condemnation. Because I grew up in church my whole life, and I love Jesus with all of my heart, and I've always wanted to be perfect, like perfect at everything I do, good at everything I do, put my mind to everything, and understand that discipline can make me better. And what I found was that in my own walk, condemnation has often been the thing that has been the most discouraging to me, because I've never felt like I was good enough for God, right? I knew he loved me. That was very clear to me. I knew that, and I loved him, but that was always sort of my struggle or my battle. And so as I prayed about this, the Lord really brought that to my mind. It reminded me that you don't need to be perfect. And if you allow condemnation to strip you of the opportunities to say yes to me, you will miss places that I want to use you. You'll miss opportunities that I want to use you. And so, and essentially what I said was, okay, God, I realize the other voices are not your voice, and so I will say yes to you. And quite frankly, I'm not really sure how good I will do at that. But I've just asked God to just make me his mouthpiece. And whatever he wants to share with you and whatever you receive from this morning, that would just be for God's glory. So here I am this morning to share with you. And Pastor Andrew asked me to talk to you this morning about spiritual disciplines. And what a spiritual discipline is. And when he asked me that, he said, well, I think you're one of the most disciplined people you know that I know. And I was like, oh man, I either have you really fooled or I just, maybe I don't see it. And I reflected on that. And I feel like there are definitely places in my life where I've been really disciplined and places where I have so much room to grow. But I thought, well, maybe that makes me the right person to share with you, because I think we all do, right? We all have places and spaces where we can grow closer to Jesus in our relationship. So I'm going to start out this morning, and there are some notes in your service guide that you can follow along with me. I didn't put a ton of notes in there because I didn't want to overburden you with filling in blanks, etc. But the first one that is in your service guide is starting out with what a spiritual discipline is. So basically, a spiritual discipline is a practice that's found in Scripture that promotes spiritual growth. So we're talking about things in our lives, practical things in our lives that will promote spiritual growth. And so as I was studying and I did a little bit of research online, I got a book about spiritual disciplines and had tried to think about my own life and how these things applied. What I realized was that a spiritual discipline in simple form is basically a habit of devotion that we have that just simply helps us grow in our relationship with Jesus. And so I was thinking about like some of the physical disciplines that we have in our lives and some that I have, some that I'm working on, right? So things like physical disciplines are like working out regularly, right? Having a regimented routine where you work out a certain amount of time, or reading, like so committing to reading a certain amount of books so that you can grow intellectually and you can learn or perfect a craft or whatever that is. Adding fruits and vegetables into your diet, right? Going to sleep early, eliminating sugar, cutting back on it. Things that make you physically stronger. Those are our physical disciplines. But there are very paralleled spiritual disciplines in our lives that help us to spiritually be stronger. And so that's what I started to research and to study. What are those spiritual disciplines? What are the things that we can do, those practical things that we can do in order to grow spiritually? And so I started thinking and studying a little bit about that. And the Bible doesn't really have, thank you.
I just remembered that it's taped here, so it's just going to stay here. All right. So spiritual disciplines are, there's not really a comprehensive list in the Bible that says, here are the spiritual disciplines that you must do. There is a list of things like the fruits of the Spirit, so things like love, joy, peace. There's spiritual gifts that are listed out. But basically, spiritual disciplines are things that we do that God commands us to do in different places in the Word that will strengthen us. And there are certain characteristics that, as I studied, I learned there are specific characteristics to a spiritual discipline. So that's what I really want to start with, is what are those characteristics of a spiritual discipline? So the first one, as I was researching and studying, was that spiritual disciplines are ones that we do, some of them we do alone, and some of them we're commanded to do with other believers. And I thought this was so interesting because in my own life, I've often thought of spiritual disciplines as things I just do by myself, like me praying alone or reading the Word alone or doing things just between me and Jesus. But as I studied, I realized that God actually commands us to do certain spiritual disciplines alone, but also He does ask us to do certain things with other believers. So prayer, for example, we have our own individual prayer life, but He also commands us, the Bible says, to forsake not the assembling of ourselves together, right? So we come together to pray for each other, to lift each other up, to worship together, and there's a lot of power in that. And it affects us in our spiritual life. So the first characteristic really focusing on is that some of them we're commanded to do alone, and some of them we are commanded to do with other believers in the church. The second characteristic that I found was that spiritual disciplines are activities. So spiritual disciplines are activities, and I thought this was a really interesting thing. They're activities, not attitudes. And so as I started unpacking this, I really thought a lot about different verses in the Bible and how the Bible says that faith without works is dead. We know that we're not saved by our works. We are only saved by the blood of Jesus and by faith and by His grace and His Spirit. But He does call us to certain acts, like to certain deeds that we are supposed to do, because it does say that faith, our faith, we're saved by faith, but without works is dead. And so as I studied, I realized that a spiritual discipline is physically something that we do, not just an attitude that we have. So not just saying, you know, I'm a joyful person. Those are results of the disciplines that we have, but they are really things that we can actually do, very practical things, which to me was encouraging because I like practical things. Like, tell me, like, great, that's a great thought. What do I need to do? That's how my mind works. So what do you want me to do, right? And we're going to get to that in a little bit, okay? So there's a key verse in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7, and it's in your service guide, and it says, discipline yourself for the purpose of godliness. Discipline yourself for the purpose of godliness. And the goal of godliness is, in biblical senses, is to become more like Jesus. And one of the things that I thought was so powerful as I was reading and studying was that if we become more godly, everything else in our life starts to flourish. But I also had to reflect on a couple of things, and I mention it later, but being very careful to recognize that, yes, we have certain actions we're required to do, but we can only do those by the power of the Spirit of God that fuels us. And so being very, very careful to not, it's sort of like this pendulum as I studied and thought about it, like I can't just do all the things and check them off my list, because that can, it can become very like Pharisaical. And actually what happens is the danger of us becoming self-righteous can come into place there. Where like I read my Bible, I prayed, I fasted, I did these things, look at me, I'm a good Christian. And I was like, okay, so we don't want to get over here because that's what the Pharisees did. And in the Bible, if you remember, Jesus actually talks about not being like a Pharisee who goes to the public square and they pray these really long, fancy prayers, right, to be seen. And that's not what we're trying to do. But we do have to, on this side of it, we do have to take a step and do the thing. And so I was trying to really think through and pray through that. Like, the purpose of our discipline is to develop godliness. And in that godliness, all of that glory goes back to God, because it's not in and of ourselves that we can do it, but it's by His grace. So we know it's things we do. It's discipline. It's something that is a physical activity, but fueled by the power of the Spirit of God. The third discipline, or the third descriptor of a spiritual discipline, is that it's something that's, and this seems like a dumb moment, okay? But I was like, it makes sense. It has to be taught or modeled in the Bible. So a spiritual discipline has to be something that's taught or modeled in God's word. So for example, or actually let me back up. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, 16 through 17, it says that all scripture is breathed out by God and is profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. And so I was thinking, okay, so a spiritual discipline has to be something that is given to us by God through his word. And if you think about how powerful that verse is, like all the scripture is God breathed. And I was reflecting on how in our day and age and in our world, there are so many messages of things that are good for us, right? Like all the different vitamins, all the different minerals, all the essential oils, all the things, right? Like, and you're like, ooh, I do those, right? Like those are all not bad things. But what I started to think about is the importance of prioritizing first, before all these other things, prioritizing, God, what is it that your word says that I need to do? Because sometimes in all of the other messaging that comes to us, you know, about self-care and wellness, those aren't necessarily bad things, but they can sometimes take the place of the very simple things that God is asking us to do. The very basic fundamental things, right? Like gardening may be really good for your soul, right? But that's not, God doesn't necessarily say go out and garden, right? It does talk about alone time with him and prayer time with him, but being very intentional to study in the word to figure out what those things are so that we are not, we're not confused by trying to do all the different things for us. Sticking to the fundamentals that Jesus gives us in his word is going to take us so, so much further. So as I studied, I found that there are a slew of spiritual disciplines in the Word of God. And I'm going to read off to you what some of them are. And I'm just going to preface with this. As I read them, I was like, ooh, not good at that. Ooh, not good at that. Ooh, not good at that. Okay, so I don't want you to feel that way. I want you to think of them, and wherever you're at in your spiritual walk, to think about, okay, God, what is the next thing that you want me to do? And that's really what I want us to focus on. And that's my focus, God, is here's all these things that I know that you're telling me are good for me and going to help me grow closer to you and develop. But let me not be overwhelmed. But I am going to read them to you because I thought they were fascinating. And some of you are spiritually stronger and have more wisdom and have lived for God longer than me. So mine might be, listen, I'm a terrible faster, and that's one of them. And you might be an awesome faster. So that might not be the thing that's checked off on your list. But for me, I was like, yeah, I got to really work on not it's like a struggle. I don't know why it's so hard. Just don't eat. But it's just really hard. So like, this is what it is. So I'm going to read to you what some of them are, okay? So there are spiritual disciplines of things that we deny ourselves and then things that we add to our lives. So things like solitude is a spiritual discipline and being in silence. God actually wants that for our lives. We get so busy and there's so much noise in our lives that if we don't ever intentionally step out and have solitude and silence, it's very hard to hear the voice of God. And sometimes in that quiet where we're not talking is actually where God gives us exactly what we need. So silence and solitude, fasting, having a Sabbath, recognizing the importance of rest in our lives. Like that's a command from God. God modeled having a day of rest. And for us, sometimes in our lives, we think, well, I got to keep working and producing and doing and doing and doing. And in many ways, that's pride because we are saying, God, you needed to rest, but I don't. And so I was thinking, okay, Sabbath, like we have to rest. That's a discipline, right? And you might be thinking, oh, that's my favorite one, right? It's a discipline. Good for you. Check on your list, okay? So, and some of the other ones are secrecy. And that was one I was like, exactly does that mean? But it was talking about when we do good works, keeping them in secret. And following what Matthew chapter 6 says about not letting your right hand know what your left hand is doing, or your left, forget if it's left or right, right? But the point of that being that, like, when we do good things, when we give, when we love, when we go out of our way, keeping that in secret for God to see is a spiritual discipline in our lives. Submission, another one I really need to work on. Submission is another one. Learning to humble yourself and not always have to be right in everything, but to look at what God has asked us to do and submit ourselves to his will or to those that are in authority over us, to learn how to submit to that and to be really humble in that. And then there's things like, and we're going to talk deeper about this, but Bible reading, making sure that we're worshiping, bringing God our worship, whether it's corporately or alone in our own private place, prayer, having deep friendships and fellowship, soul fellowship is actually what it said is a spiritual discipline. And that talks about engaging, like we are called to engage in relationship with other believers that will help build us up and help us be accountable spiritually and not be in isolation. And that's literally something that God is asking us to do. So being a part of things like small groups or Bible studies is a great place for us to work on our discipline. And then personal reflection. And it talks about paying attention to your inner self in order to grow in your love for God. And I was like, oh, that's so good. Like stopping to reflect on your heart. Like stopping to say, like, God, show me the layers and the things inside of me that are not right so I can move in the right direction with you. And being willing to reflect on, boy, like this is a place in my heart, like a dark spot that I need God to shine his light on. And then there was things like service. So literally going out of your way, whether it's to serve in the church or to reach out to others, but committing to do something for other people is also a spiritual discipline. And so I was reading, I was listening to this book on spiritual disciplines, and I was a little overwhelmed, to be honest with you, at first as I read through and listened to them, because as I mentioned before, like I want to be good at all of the things, and I was like, I'm just not good at all of these things. But as I was listening, he was talking about in all of the spiritual disciplines, there are two spiritual disciplines that should be our primary and first focus, no matter where you're at in your relationship with God, whether you've been serving God for 50 years or you're brand new to it. And they were talking about the two most important spiritual disciplines are prayer, so the discipline of your prayer life, and then discipline of reading the Word of God. And at first you might feel like, well, duh, that's sort of the fundamentals, right? But if I were to ask you, and actually as I was researching, they talked about they had done a big survey of Christians, of believers, and they said, how is your prayer life? And the majority of Christians said, it could be better. And I would venture to say that most of you, if I were to say, like, how's your prayer life? How's your Bible reading? Would say, like, it could be better, right? I know for sure mine, it could be better. And so if we think about those being the two fundamental things that we just start at that level, God will take us from that level and will continue to build and build and build on us as we grow. And so I was listening and reading, and one of the things that stood out to me that I want to encourage you in is thinking about the importance of starting really small in your spiritual disciplines and not allowing yourself to be condemned when you mess up. And I say when you mess up because we will mess up. And it is inevitable, right? I'm gonna share a little story with you about something. So at work, we did a challenge at the end of the school year, and we did the Biggest Loser challenge for who could lose the most amount of weight. And so I was in the challenge too. Like I started the challenge just because I was like, it'll hold me accountable. So we got in the challenge, right? And this is what I saw happen. So every week, everybody had to, I like ran it so everyone didn't know each other's weight, but they had to send me their weight each week where they were at. And then we figured out by percentage of body fat that was lost, who would be the winner. And so it was funny to me because I knew when people had a good week, they would naturally send them to me. And when they didn't, I'd be like, guys, where's your weight, right? And then slowly, this is what happened over the summer. Like one dropped off, the next dropped off. And I'm like, come on, guys, you had a bad week. Don't give up. Get back on. But our human nature is that when we mess up or we have an off week, we want to just throw it in and be like, I've tried this before. It's not going to work. I've already done this thing. It's not going to work. And the reality is we will mess up, but we just have to keep getting back up again and again and again. And that's how we build the habits. That's how we grow spiritually. And so as I looked at this, I was like, okay, I got to start small. And the first thing I need to focus on is the discipline of reading the Word of God. And it would be better for us to read 5 minutes a day. If you just could commit to 5 minutes of reading the Word of God a day, it's better that than to go without reading, and then read an hour once a month, right? And the reason why it's important, even if it's super small, is because the Bible equates the Word of God to the bread of life, right? To food for us. We can't go a month without eating and then have one big giant meal and feel like that's going to hold us over for the next month. It would be better for us to eat that small amount every day, because what's happening is every day the Word of God is being planted in our mind to lead us and to guide us and to keep our focus, even if it's not, you know, some people are great studiers of the Word and you might not be there, but that doesn't mean that your 5 minutes does not matter to God. And so be encouraged by that, to know like, okay, you know, maybe I'm not reading every day, but I can commit to 5 minutes starting small. I'm going to get in the Word of God. And we're going to talk about what those spiritual disciplines do for you in just a little bit. But being intentional about that. Apart from the Bible, we cannot know what God is like. Apart from the Word of God, we cannot know what we're supposed to do and not do. His Word, we read that before, the scripture is breathed out by God. And when we spend time in the Word of God, even if it's just a couple verses, we are learning about who God is just in that small amount of time. And we can continue to build upon that. But understanding that if we don't get in His Word, we can very easily be swayed by all the different messages and all the different things that come at us. And I was reading, so in Jeremiah 15, 16, it says, your words were found and I ate them. And your words became to me a joy and the delight of my heart. For I am called by your name, O Lord God of hosts. And I thought, man, that's so powerful. And I was thinking about, I have someone who's really close to me, and they just struggle with understanding the Word. Like, they just say, I read it, I don't know what it means. I read it, I don't know what it means. And that's real, right? Like, sometimes it takes time. Like, some things in, like, Leviticus is a hard book of the Bible for me to get through. Like, some things are just really hard, right? But what I thought about was the importance of meditating. In Psalms chapter 1, let me back up. It says, there are two forces that will shape our thinking in the world. Either the world and what the world says, or the Word of God will shape us. And Psalms 1 says, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and his law he meditates on day and night. And the word meditate on God's word simply means this. Meditate sometimes has this like, ooh, connotation to it. It's not. Meditate simply means to ponder, to dwell on, to chew on it and to roll it over in our minds in order to apply it to our lives. So if we just even spend a little bit of time in the Word and meditate on it and think on it and ask God to give me understanding, what does this mean? How do you want me to apply this to my life? We are stepping into that spiritual discipline that God's calling for us to do. And so never underestimating the power of 5 or 10 minutes in the Word of God. It will start to transform and to shape our lives and our outlook on everything that we do. The second spiritual discipline that is sort of like the foundational one is simply prayer. And prayer is very, very simple. Sometimes we make it so complicated. But prayer is taking time to thank God and then to bring our petitions to Him and to talk to Him. And I like to tell people, so I work in a school and we, you know, have K-4 through 8th grade. And little ones, I just like to tell, just talk to Jesus like He's your best friend. Tell Him what you're upset about today. Tell Him what you're thankful for. Tell Him what you're excited about. And it really is that simple. In the Word of God, actually, Jesus, when He models what prayer is for us, it's a very simple prayer. And it takes about a minute to say. And so if you think about that, like understanding that prayer is just simply, you know, starting in gratitude. God, thank you for this. Thank you for my family. Thank you that you woke me up this morning. And then bringing the things that you need to Him is so powerful. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says to pray without ceasing. And I love that verse because when I first hear it, I think of like, so I'm supposed to pray all day long, every day, all the time. Like without like walking around like people are going to think I'm crazy, right? But what I believe that really means is that we stay in a mindset of prayer. That when we're going through like through our day and something comes up, that we don't hesitate to pause and say, God, please, like I see that person really struggling. Please give them hope today. Please give them joy today. God, I have a really bad attitude. This morning I was ready to cut all kinds of people off on the road. That is true. Help me, Jesus. Forgive me, Jesus. Like, right? Like, staying in the mindset of prayer. And the reason for that is because it helps keep us right. Like, if I don't pray, I already know what's going to happen. Like, I'm a very quick-tempered, feisty person. Like, if I don't stay in prayer, it's not going to be good. I got to keep bringing it to Jesus. And He helps me with that every single day. And that to me is praying without ceasing, staying in that mind, staying in that communion with God. Because in that time, He also brings us conviction when we need it. He brings us hope when we need it because He's our best friend. It's sort of like, you know, I think about the person that you are the closest to, right? It's because you have constant communication. Either you're texting, you know, randomly, or you're calling, or you're talking to them. The more we talk to him, the more open we are to hear him and to speak with him. And we don't feel like we have to come with some fancy written out word. We're just talking to Jesus, our best friend. And as I was reading about prayer, this was one thing that struck me, and I thought it was so powerful. In Romans chapter 12, verse 12, it says, "Rejoice in hope, be patient in tribulation, be constant in prayer." Philippians 4, 6 says, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God." And I love that verse because I was reflecting on how many people in our world struggle with anxiety. Christians, non-Christians, so many of us, right? It's overwhelming. And there have been times in my life where I've struggled so, like I've woke up and my mind starts racing immediately. And what do I got to do today? Who do I got to, I got to. And what I've found is that this is a very intentional piece of the Bible, that if we pray and if we bring our petitions to God, like it says, right? It says in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Then we start to overcome those things. We shut down anxiety before it can begin because we give it to God instead of feeling like we have to take it all on. We say, "Jesus, I'm really stressed out. I'm worried about this conversation I have to have at work today. I'm worried about, am I going to keep my job? I'm worried about this. I'm worried about my health." But if we bring that to him first and we say, "God, I give you all of this every day," we don't ever allow it to become this whirlwind in our mind where now we bring it in crisis mode. We bring it at the moment that it starts. And I'll tell you, like, there have been times in my life where I have felt like I've felt that coming, and this is what I do. Like, I don't have time for anxiety. I don't have time for worry. I got too much to do. God has too much to accomplish. So I've stood in my mirror and I said, "I rebuke anxiety in the name of Jesus Christ. I rebuke fear right now in the name of Jesus Christ. Jesus, you have called me to live a life abundantly," and I speak that over. That's my prayer. "Father, I give this to you." You already know. Above my door is my favorite verse that says, "The Lord will fight for you. You need only to be still." And so I stand in those promises and I bring them to God. "God, I'm really worried about this thing that I got to do," or "I'm really worried about, you know, whatever this is, or this relationship or that." And I bring that to him so that I don't ever allow it to take over me. And so if we do what his word says and every day we make time for that, I promise you, you will see victories happen because he does care. His word will never return void. So if we stand on this discipline, we know that we don't have to be anxious. We don't have to worry. We don't have to fear. He is in favor of us. And so I just want you to be, so encouraged by that. I love, love, love the power of prayer and how we are called to overcome these things, but they only come through the discipline, right? Our discipline is bringing it to Jesus. The supernatural part of it is Jesus taking care of it. We do our spot. He does his, right? We do our discipline. He does the rest of the work. So just be encouraged in that. Now I want to get to sort of like the meat and potatoes of like, okay, that's great. I agree. Amen. How do I do that? Okay. So I will tell you this. There are so many spiritual disciplines that I've tried and failed, and we talked about that. And the first thing I want to say is don't be discouraged. No matter where you're at in it, even if you're feeling like you're killing it, like you got more you can do. So I started to study how do you build strong habits? How do you build spiritual disciplines? Because they all sound good. We all agree with that. But God, I've tried and I've really failed in a lot of these things. And so first of all, we know that they're going to be fueled by the power of the Holy Spirit. We have to rely on him and know that in our own doing, we cannot do it. We have to admit that. Like, my willpower will only go so far. But I need you, Father, to supernaturally take over. So building a habit. As I studied this, I thought this was really interesting. They said the very first thing that you need to do when you are trying to build new habits in your life or spiritual disciplines is to be self-aware. And I was like, okay, that sounds really simple. What does that mean? And it talks about you have to spend time to think about why do you want to do this? Why do you personally want to do this? And why are you doing the things you are currently doing? So why do you want the change, and why are you doing what you're doing right now? And I thought that was really, like, simple yet really profound, because without that motivation, without a strong why, we will try, fail, try, fail, try, fail, because we can't do it for other people. We can't do it for the pastor. We can't do it to show up and look good. We can't do it because so-and-so will look at us and respect us. Our motivation has to be out of our love for Jesus Christ and out of wanting to be closer to him. And when that's your real motivation, then when you do fail, you get back up because you know he's a loving God and he's there. He forgives you and he picks you back up and he picks you back up and he says, it's all right, I forgive you. Let's do this thing again, right? So thinking through, like, what is your deep motivation? And research actually shows that people, when they're setting goals and building habits, if they have taken the time to really figure out the why, and if you want to go to the next step, write out your why, physically put it on paper, that you are way more likely to stick to and have success in a new habit or a new spiritual discipline. So figuring out your why and also figuring out, why am I doing the things I'm currently doing? Last week we talked a little bit about bad habits, right? Why am I doing those things? I'm going to sidebar for a second, because as I was reading, I thought this was a fascinating story in my reading. The guy was talking about he was trying to build a new habit because he had a habit of eating a cookie every afternoon. So he would be in his cubicle working, and he would start to get really tired, and he would go and, like, get his sugar kick every afternoon, and then he felt like he could carry on through the rest of the day. And so he had to stop and think about, like, why am I getting this, like, cookie craving every afternoon at this time? And so he spent time, like, reflecting on, well, my blood sugar is getting a little low. The afternoon's a little bit boring. It's sort of like my little pick-me-up. And so what he said was he was going to replace that. So he recognized why he was doing what he was doing. And he was going to replace it with something that would help to, like, bring him back up, wake his brain back up. And then he was going to try to do that over, like, a two-week span of time. So what he did instead was he got up. He realized that his brain just really needed to wake up and have some socialization time. And so he'd go around and he'd say hi to people. He would talk to them, say hello, hello, hello. And then he'd go back to his desk. He got energy. He had moved around and his brain was reawoke. And he said within that short amount of time, he didn't even crave the cookie anymore. Because what his brain really needed, he finally realized, was his brain didn't actually need sugar. It needed stimulation and to be woke back up again. And I think that's a lot of us. We do things like trying to fill a gap, trying to fill a hole that we haven't really even thought about what that is. And I shared this with my staff at work, and it's sort of embarrassing, but I realized, I mentioned earlier, it's been sort of a tough couple of years, but especially last 6 months. I found myself almost every night, and I'm sharing this, you can judge me, I'm going to share a little more in a second. You'll be like, why'd you put her up there? So I found myself every night, I would start to feel sad, right? Because when I go to work, I try to turn it off, I try to stay focused, do what I got to do, but I'd get home, and then when you get home, you have quiet, right? You got to face some of the things you got to face, right? You get in the car, and it's quiet, and you got to, unpack that. And so I was like, oh, I don't want to feel really sad right now. I don't want to feel sad right now. So I'd go on Amazon and I would start scrolling for things and find a new pair of shoes, a new pair of whatever. And I would just buy something small, because the reason why I did it was, like, in that moment, it distracted me. And then when I got my package, I was like, yay, I got a new package, right? And then I started realizing, like, this is a really unhealthy habit. I wasn't spending, like, exorbitant amounts of money, but I was filling something in my, I was building a new habit that was bad for me. I was building a new habit, not even in that moment recognizing the reason I'm doing this is because I need to fill that hole with Jesus right now. I need to stop and pray right now, but I'm trying to do this other thing and fill it with this. And so God, like, snapped me out of that. And I'm going to also tell you, there's someone on my staff told me they know someone that lives in our apartment building. And she said, oh, yeah, I was talking to him. And he said, oh, I know that name. She's the Amazon lady who gets all the packages. And I was like, oh, Lord, have mercy. Like, that's so embarrassing, right? I was like, okay, Jesus, I got it. Stens, like, you're still getting a few too many packages. But I recognize, right, that's why am I doing it. I had to stop and reflect on not just what am I doing, but why am I doing it? And I need a new habit, a spiritual discipline that can fill the piece of pain, the thing that's in my heart that I'm trying to fill with something else. So don't underestimate the power of stopping and reflecting on your life and thinking about what are the things I'm doing and why. The second thing that they said, and we mentioned this earlier, but is start small. When you want to build a new spiritual discipline, don't, if you're not reading the Bible at all right now or praying, like, don't set a goal of, I'm going to read the Bible for an hour every day and then I'm going to pray for an hour every day. Like, that's not probably not going to happen. So start small, right? Like, think of something that's a realistic goal for you, because you can always build on it. But your obedience is what God will honor. Your obedience to start and to say, like, Jesus, I know this matters to you. I know this is going to help me grow. So I'm going to do this small thing. So starting small and then trying to build that into a habit. And it said in there, just remember that 5 minutes is better than nothing. Consistency is the key to building a habit. Consistency. Just be consistent. Even if you don't think it's enough, just be consistent. And then the third practical piece of building a good habit is something that they called stacking a habit. And I thought this one was really interesting. Stacking a habit is basically identifying something that you already do every single day and tacking on a new habit to that. So stacking, so essentially what you're looking at is evaluating what's something I already do every single day. And they gave this really incredible example, and I kind of giggled at it at first, and then I was like, actually, that makes a lot of sense. An example of that is there was a man who was trying to build a new habit of flossing his teeth. He already had a current habit of brushing his teeth every day. Hallelujah. We should all have that habit, right? But I won't make you raise your hand. Y'all don't all floss your teeth every day. I already know. But that's something we should have, right? So he wanted to build this habit of flossing his teeth every day. So he started by flossing one tooth a day. And I was like, for real? Like, you already got it out, wrapped around? Like, just keep going. like you're going to do all that work to get one tooth and then throw it out. And I was like, that just don't make no sense. But then I was like, actually, it does make sense, because if it was that easy, we would all floss our teeth every day. If it was that easy, he'd just floss every day and make that his goal. But he started with one tooth. And I was like, okay, I think that makes a lot of sense, right? Another example of that was, they said, if you're trying to read the Bible every day and you eat a bowl of cereal every single day, right? Put a sticky note out or put your Bible next to where your bowl of cereal is going to be and make that the new habit that you tack on. You already eat, right? So then add Bible reading to that time where you're already quiet and eating your cereal. If you're like, well, that's not enough time, I eat really fast. That's all right. We said 5 minutes, okay? So just stacking your habit, right? You got this one thing you do all the time already, but add that on. For me in my own life, like, I've made a habit, and I'm going to tell you in a little bit why it's so important to me. Every morning I have a latte. Like, every morning I have a latte. And if I don't have a latte, I will find a latte somewhere, right? That's part of my morning habit. And so typically every morning Stens makes it for me. Thank you, Stens, because he's so thoughtful. And he brings it to me while I'm, like, waking up, right? I know, that's really sweet. So in that moment while I have my latte, that's my prayer time. And I made that my prayer time. When it was lighter out, my prayer time was I would take it with me and I would walk outside, because I love walking outside, and I would pray, and that was my habit every morning. And now it's dark and sometimes there's creepy people, so I don't walk in the dark as much. But I sit with my coffee. That's my habit, and that's my prayer time every day. And if I don't do it, I promise you, and I'm not exaggerating, like, I don't feel like I can function appropriately in my day. And it feels like all the things are just so much greater and so much bigger, and I feel all kinds of off. And that has become my spiritual discipline. Is my prayer time, like, deep and, like, powerful every single morning? Maybe not. Like, maybe it's not, like, my greatest prayer meeting moment, but it's the discipline of, like, coming to God day after day after day and making that time for him that I believe God has really honored. And I will tell you that it has been fundamental in my own life, in places and spaces that I didn't know that I was preparing for. So making something you're already doing and tacking on, what's the spiritual discipline, God, that you want me to add on here? So I'm going to kind of shift gears just a little bit, because there's one thing that I want you to just really make sure that hits home with you. Your willpower in studies and in research, your willpower is not enough. So if you're like me and you're very, like, I'm very determined, like, tell me I can't and I'll prove you you're wrong. Like, that's my personality, right? I already know that. But the reality is there are some things that, like, willpower is not enough. And it won't be enough. It'll be enough for a little while, and then you'll fall off. And there's actually research in 2005, they did a study of college students that had some pretty strong habits in their lives, but they went and they examined during exam time, so during their finals, they went and they watched them, and here's what they found in high times of stress and difficulty. They found that college students before that exam time stopped working out, they ate about 2 times more than they normally did, cigarette and alcohol intake went up significantly, and they found that the stress that they were encountering actually depleted the willpower that they had had previously. And sometimes we think, well, under fire, like, we'll do it even more. But the reality is under fire and under stress, oftentimes our willpower is sort of like a muscle. We've been working it, and it's so weak in those moments that it falls off. And in the moments of our greatest weakness, when we need it the most, it's oftentimes not there. And so that's why when you talk about habit and spiritual discipline, that's why that piece is so important. The consistency of the habits that you build, when you do something every single day, it actually neurologically builds like pathways in your brain that help you to just automatically do things. And the more you do them, the deeper that pathway becomes in your brain. So you don't even think about it anymore. It's just something you do. So prayer and reading the word become just something. That's just who I am. I eat every day. Yeah, that's something I do. I pray every day. Duh, that's something I do. And the more you do it, the more it becomes something that you don't even have to try to do. In fact, it talks about when you're building that habit, make it so obvious that it's you have to make a conscious choice not to do it rather than a conscious choice to do it, because it's just part of who you are and who you've become. And I just thought to myself, like, as I read through this, it hit home so close for me. And this is why, and I'm going to share a little bit of my story of why I feel so passionately about the spiritual disciplines. And I'll tell you this, like, as I prayed about speaking to you all, I really felt like the Lord said, okay, you just need to be, like, I don't like to be overly emotional in front of people. It makes me really uncomfortable, except for when I'm praying and worshiping, then I don't care what you think, okay? But other than that, it's really, really hard for me. Because I like to just kind of like be squared away, stay focused, right? But I felt like the Lord said, like, if you continue to do that, you're going to miss an opportunity. And so I was reflecting on these spiritual disciplines and reflecting on my own life and reflecting on the last year. And I thought about this. If I would not have had spiritual disciplines in my life prior to this time, I promise you I wouldn't be here. Because as I told you in the beginning, like, I told you, like, man, God, are you sure you want me to talk? Like, I feel really messy. I feel real crazy sometimes in my thoughts, and sometimes I'm fine, and then other times I get in the car and I start crying like a mad woman, and then sometimes I'm like, oh, I'm fine, huh? Everything's great, right? I'm like, are you sure? Like, I'm the one, right? But here's what I know to be true. The spiritual disciplines that have been in my life for years now of prayer and of reading the Word of God are the only things that have kept me from walking away. And I'm going to be really vulnerable and really honest, like uncomfortably so. When my dad was diagnosed with cancer, so that was 3 years ago, my dad's like my best friend. And he's always been my biggest cheerleader. And I remember, like, the moment that happens, where you're like, oh, God, like, how can this, like, okay. But then you like, I drew on my faith. Like, I already know, God, you're a healer. I know you're a healer. By your stripes, he's going to be healed. I'm going to pray for him. I'm going to commit to this. Like, I've lived for you my whole life. I know you can do this thing. And as time goes, you know, you get good reports, you get bad reports, and your faith is really tested and all of that. And some of the most difficult things for those of you who have walked through this is to watch someone that you love suffer. Because you want to, like, can I take your place? What can I do? And your faith starts to wane a little bit, and you start to feel a little bit weak. And I remember thinking about, like, you know, God, I know without a doubt that you're a healer. But I also remember thinking, like, but I don't know exactly what your perfect will is. And I remember, I'm going to tell you some of the crazy thoughts that I've had throughout this time. I remember thinking, like, for sure, God's going to heal him. You just got to stand on them. And then thinking, like, I don't really know. Maybe perfect healing is when he gets to heaven. He's okay with going. Like, he's told me that. But I don't understand, God. And I'd never been one to really question God, because, quite frankly, I've lived a really blessed life, and there's ebbs and flows, things that come, but nothing that's facing me like this. Like, in fact, God had miraculously healed my dad early on in his life, so I knew that. But now I'm staring this thing in the face that's just different. And I'm asking, God, why? Why did you not heal him? Why did you let him suffer? And then I'm thinking, like, a couple months later, my uncle passes. 2 weeks later, my aunt passes. And I'm thinking, like, okay, I'm supposed to go to this funeral and sing. I'm supposed to do all these things. And God, I've been trying, right? And sometimes we, if I'm just being really honest, we get upset because we don't understand. I mean, thoughts in my mind of, like, God, have I not prayed enough? Am I not good enough? Like, you're not hearing my prayers? Like, what did I do? All the things that go on in your mind, right? And I remember, like, I remember Sens and I went to, you can judge me for this, we went to a wedding about a month ago, and I remember thinking, like, I felt like the person that you watch in a movie, and you're like, wow, they're really bitter. I remember going, and I was like, that's nice. I hope you guys enjoy your day, but guess what? Someday one of you will get sick and die. Things are going to be really hard. And then they did the father-daughter dance, and then, like, all of that just rises up inside of you, right? And you can't, you're like, God, I'm like, God, I know this is wrong. I'm sorry. I'm, like, repenting at the wedding. People probably think I'm crazy because I don't look happy. You know, and I all these things that go through your mind and the struggles that you face and the messiness, the thoughts that I've had during that time where I'm like, oh, that's not godly. That's not right. God, I'm sorry. I'm not mad at you. I just don't understand. And what I found is this. The day that my dad passed, I was there, I slept over, and he passed in the middle of the night, and I remember driving home, and I had my habit that every morning I would pray and I would go for my walk. And so I went for my walk that morning, and in those moments, like, you don't want to go. You don't want to go. You don't want to pray. You don't want to talk to God right now because you just don't understand. But that was my habit. And even though I didn't feel it, right, even though I knew in my mind and I felt certain things, I knew better and I knew greater because of the time of the spiritual disciplines that I had put into place and that God would meet me every day. So I got up and I went for my walk and I walked around and I talked to God, and in those moments, my prayers weren't super great. Honestly, all I could really pray was, God, I need help. And that's really all that I could pray. I said, Jesus, I just need help. I don't understand. I love you. I know you love my dad. I told my dad before he went, I said, Dad, we will continue to serve God no matter what, because that's how you raised us, no matter what, because God is good, and because we don't have to understand everything. And so I went for my walk and I just spoke truth, truth that I didn't feel, but truth that I knew from the Word of God and truth that I knew from my time with God. And one of my favorite things that was ever spoken to my life was when, and my dad told me this, when you don't feel something, you gotta know something, Tiff. Because you can't live by your feelings, because your feelings are flawed. Your feelings are not the truth. The truth, the Word of God, what you stand on, that God-breathed scripture, that's what you stand on. And what I knew in that time when I prayed, God, I just need help. I don't really know. I don't even know what to say. I don't even know how to process this, but I know you're good. Your Word says you're good. You've proven to me over and over again you're good. And Father, I know that my dad is with you. And I know that I'm grateful that you came and paid a price, because death comes to us all. We're not above it. We don't deserve all of the good things, but I know that your Word says that there's an eternal hope and a future that you've given. And so, Father, even though this hurts, and even though I don't understand it, and I may never fully understand it, my faith and my prayer says I know better. And in those disciplines, every morning that I would go, you guys, I would pick, this is so silly, I would pick a flower and I would put it in my, I'd put it in a glass of water for every day that I walked and prayed after he passed. And if I'd forget, I would go back outside and I would do it. And for me, it was a visual reminder of, like, I will not stop. I will not stop praying. I will not stop reading. I will not allow Satan to take me in a point of hurt, and he will exploit every weakness you have. But I refuse to do that because I stand on your promises. I stand on your Word. And the thing is that is the discipline, right? Because as I prayed my weak little prayer, God shows up. And that's what I'm telling you. Like, we do the work, but the faith, the supernatural is what Jesus Christ comes and does inside of us in that moment, where in every moment that I would do it, I felt a little bit of healing, a little bit of healing. And every moment now when I do it, a little bit of healing. And listen, sometimes your battle, your struggle won't go away right away. There's a lot of hurt in the world because there's sin in the world. Friday night, I told Sens I had a dream, and I was like, man, God, this is tough. I had a dream that, this is going to sound crazy. I had a dream that my dad came back to life, and in my dream, I was like, wait, don't get your hopes up. Don't get your hopes up. Is this real? Is this real? Is this real, right? And I was like, and I woke up, and I was like, ah! It still hurts so bad, But you know what I did? I woke up and I went and I made a latte because Stenz was asleep. And I went and sat on the couch. And I sat on the couch and I said, I will not stop praying. Like, it's still going to hurt. But Father, I bring it to you right now, Jesus. And I need you in this moment to heal me. I need you in this moment to give me strength. And that discipline, that habit, when you don't want to do it, when you don't feel like reading, when you don't feel like praying, I promise you, every time he shows up, every time he's not mad when I question him, he's a loving father. But those disciplines are what I promise will keep you. They will draw you closer to him, because without them, life's just too hard. Things just hurt too deep. But the truth of the Word of God and the truth that he speaks into your life and those prayer times, those spiritual disciplines, are things that I promise you, they will keep you. They will hold you through the most difficult times that you have. And they're not just things to check off on a list. They're things that I believe God has called me to do for such a time as this. Because when the enemy tries to exploit, and when he tries to pull in, when he tries to get in with doubt, I stand on the discipline. I stand on the truth and the promises that are there. And I won't give up. And so this morning, I just want to encourage you, no matter what it is that you're going through, or no matter what questions that you have or things that you have walked through, stand on those disciplines. If you don't have them yet and things are good, I promise you, you're going to need them someday. I promise you, you're going to need them someday. And maybe it won't be in this way, but it'll be something else, because life is hard, because there's sin in this world. We mess up. And I just want you to know that he loves you. And the reason that he's called us to these spiritual disciplines, prayer, fasting, reading the Word of God, are so that you can be strong, so that you can be courageous, so that you can come out a fighter and a warrior, and every time you fall that you can get back up, because you've been pouring in, you've been preparing for the fight, you've been training for the fight, and that is the discipline. And you won't, when you fall, you'll have the strength to get up, because greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. And so I just want you to be encouraged. If you don't have the disciplines, it's all right, let's start today. Let's build them in today, and let's just keep building and drawing closer to the Father, because you will be able to draw on those habits when you need them most, and he will show up and he will show out, and he's healing me day after day after day, moment in prayer after moment in prayer, revealing truth to me that I can't necessarily in my own feelings fathom, but in the truth I can understand. All right, this morning we're gonna pray for a second and close out in prayer. It's just every head bowed and every eye closed. Jesus, we're so thankful for who you are today, God. You're so good. Thankful, Father, that you show up. This morning, while your eyes are closed and your head is bowed, if there's anybody that would like to say yes to Jesus, maybe you've never done that, maybe this is all brand new to you, but you know that you need a Savior like the good, good Father that I know. If that's you, or maybe you've struggled and you've fallen off, or maybe some things in your life have caused some significant hurt and some pain, and maybe the enemy kind of took you out, but you're ready to recommit your life to Jesus. You're ready to step up and to stand out and to get back in the fight. If that's you this morning, if you would just simply raise your hand, we're going to pray for you. If you would just raise your hand right now, thank you. Thank you. Thank you for your hands all over. Let's pray. Jesus, Father, I'm so thankful for who you are. I'm so thankful, God, that you've called me to be disciplined, not because of rules or regulations, God, but because you love me so, so much, because you love us so much. Father, thank you for making us fighters, God. Thank you for giving us courage. Jesus, we pray right now for every single person in the room that this might be their first time saying yes to you. God, we just commit our lives to you right now. Father, we repent of everything that we've done wrong, God, and there's so many places we've fallen and we've failed, Jesus. And Father, we're sorry. We just ask for your forgiveness this morning. And we thank you that your arms are open wide, Jesus, that you pick us up, that you carry us, that you are not mad at us, that you rejoice when we say yes, you rejoice when we get up. You are in our corner, you are cheering us on, and you are the power inside of us, Father, by the power of the Holy Ghost, that we can walk and we can do your will. And Father, I pray for everyone that's recommitting, Lord, that maybe we've fallen off in our habits and in our disciplines, Jesus. We just recommit to you right now. Father, we recommit our lives, Jesus. We're going to take the step. And we know, God, that it is not by our strength. It is not by our power. But it is by the power of your Spirit that we stand on that. And God, that you are making us strong, Father, so that when we are in the greatest fight, when we are in the moments, Jesus, that we don't understand, that we know your word, that we know you are faithful, that you are good, and that we don't have to understand it all, but we know the truth. And we know that your truth, Jesus, is that you've come to give us life, to give it more abundantly, that we can have an eternity in heaven with you, where there will be no more pain, there will be no more suffering, there will be no more sickness. And God, you are a good, good Father. You are faithful, and we thank you, and we love you, and we commit our lives to you again, and we thank you. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening. We'd love to hear about what God is doing in your life. You can email us at stories@thelifeway.org or connect with us on Facebook or Instagram. If you'd like to support this podcast, you can give today by visiting thelifeway.org/give. Thanks again for listening, and be sure to check in next week for a new message. Have a great week.